All right, we've been talking a lot about various virtues, things that first century women were told to do, how to live their lives, how to be a better Christian, a better wife, a better mother, a better friend, and we've hit on a lot of those. And the one I kept putting off, because I'm afraid it impacts me directly, is gluttony. Now, a lot of this is taken directly, like word for word, copied off this first website, and then there are some other things that I added in from some others. And I like, the reason I copied it is I like the way it starts out. It says, gluttony seems to be a sin that Christians like to ignore. We're quick to label smoking and drinking sins because our body is the temple of God and we shouldn't do anything that's going to impact that. But we don't want to talk about that one. Why do you suppose that is?
That's what we do.
That's what we do. I don't smoke. I don't drink. It's real easy for me to say don't do that.
We can't drink, we can't dance, might as well eat.
I'm in the wrong place if we can. Get in here and sit down. So, many of the arguments use against drinking and smoking and not taking care of your body are not used against gluttony, and yet they probably all still apply. So we're going to talk about it. And Patsy asked the first question, which is probably the most important question of the morning. What is gluttony? Now, we're going to read a lot of scriptures that talk about it and talk about food, because there's a lot in the Bible about food and how we deal with it. But what's your definition of gluttony? And I'm going to say some of these more than I do. That's not me, of course. But what is gluttony?
Excessive.
Excessive. How do you define that? Are you excessive if your BMI is way over what it should be? If you're considered clinically obese, is that excessive eating? Carol?
I don't know what this is getting to, but I looked up a bunch of stuff, and some places went in the direction of putting that above our responsibilities to God.
Uh-huh.
Feeling like that's what we needed to do instead of be doing the things that we should be doing for God.
Well, we're going to throw a few things out here, and then we're going to go through this, and we're going to come back to this same question. But, yes,
I believe it's like she was saying, for example, you know, God don't do stuff like that, so why should His children, as Christians, do that? I believe we should. Look. I don't think that's being very proper, being very Christian, doing stuff like that.
Okay. Anybody else about gluttony?
If you look on the labels as to what a serving size is.
Yeah.
We don't do that.
No, we don't do that. Especially in America, we don't do that. Maybe even especially in Texas, we don't do that.
So it's usually a half a cup.
Yes.
Oh, vegetables, yeah.
Ice cream is a half a cup.
Yeah.
That's what I have,
Carol.
I've done that and said, okay, that's the appetizer. Where's the food?
Yes. Well, and again, you have to go with that's arbitrary. Some person put that together. Mm. And we have to look at, there are indeed different body styles. There are people who are shaped differently, and it doesn't really have anything to do with eating. You can see it from the time they're little bitty. You know, I look at Cole, and he's, I think, going to be pretty tall and slender. Well, maybe not very tall, because his parents aren't very tall. But Levi's a refrigerator. I mean, he's not fat. He's not overweight. He's just built like this. And I think that's going to show as they age. And it doesn't, and they eat a lot of the same kinds of things in the same family.
And it has to do with metabolism.
Mm-hmm.
We could eat the same thing.
Right. And we process it
and
differently.
And we would be different.
Now, we're going to talk about that some more, too. Does that mean that just because you are labeled with one way that you can just say, well, that's how I am, and that's good enough? So, all right, let's look at some of the scriptures, and then we'll come back to our opinions. In the Bible, the word glutton and its variants are often mentioned alongside drunkenness. It's clear that a glutton is someone who eats more than healthy or eats excessively, and that such behavior is considered sinful, because it is described along with drunkenness. But I think more to the point of the food is it's an ongoing practice, it's how you live your life, and it's abandon. It's eating with abandon. Like drunkenness is going to where you are drunk from the use of that alcoholic beverage. Gluttony is where you've gone past what food is useful for and are eating for other reasons. Has anybody ever made the, you don't even have to answer this out loud, just think about it, ever made the mistake of really, really eating too much at one meal and then you're ill? You know, it has a physical effect on your body because you've had all your body needs. And you've probably even had most of what you want. But for whatever reason, that particular time just went forward with a behavior that was out of control.
And planned. Because I plan to eat too much when I eat too much.
Sometimes it just tastes so good.
See, that's the problem. My mouth stays hungry a lot longer than my stomach stays hungry. And I want the taste.
Yeah, it's not really about hunger.
But it can be about addiction.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
About how you can get addicted to sugar.
To what?
To sugar.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'd have to argue that with you on the research.
Argue the science of that? Really?
Yeah.
Oh, so I've just fallen prey to the myths.
I think there's a lot of myth in that. I really do. But we can talk about that some other time.
They say you should chew each bite 20 chews.
How boring is that?
Because it takes about 20 minutes for your stomach to know that it's been fed.
So can you imagine chewing something 20 times?
God, I'd be tired. We'd go to sleep. So.
and you could eat it.
Yeah,
so there you go.
That's probably the cereal. That one.
And yet the taste lasts longer if you chew more.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. I don't know. You can prove that one with research either. So Proverbs 23:20-21 says, don't join those who drink too much wine or gorge themselves on meat. Drunkards and gluttons become poor, and drowsiness clothes them in rags. How do you feel after you eat a huge meal?
Stunned.
And sleepy. Yes. Thanksgiving Day, you know. Everybody.
Yeah, but that's the turkey.
Yeah, there's some of that. There's some of just too much food, too. And then Proverbs 20, some of these we'll have to go in and read later on, but some of them are printed out here. Proverbs 28:7 says, he who keeps the law is a discerning son, but a companion of gluttons disgraces his father. Now, just an opinion here. I'm asking your opinion. What do you think that means? Is it just don't hang out with the fat kids?
It's behavior.
The verse before talks about gorging yourselves on meat. It's in this instance, it's become your goal. You know, here's all this stuff, and I'm going to eat as much as I can. I'm going to absolutely overdo myself. Sort of like the kids who decide they're going to go out binge drinking. I'm going to go get drunk. I mean, I teach college-age kids, and I can't tell you how often I have overheard that conversation. Let's go get drunk this weekend. Not let's go out. Let's enjoy ourselves. Not even let's have some drinks. Let's go get drunk. That's the goal. And I don't understand that. There's no part of me that understands that anywhere, because I've seen the results of that behavior. And I can't imagine that throwing up and blinding headaches is worth whatever it is they get from that. But that verse before us talks about gorging, and I think that's a planned behavior. So he says, who keeps the law is a discerning son, but a companion of gluttons disgraces his father. So how is that going to disgrace your father? Who are these people, these gluttons?
Worldly
people who are out of control. Their behavior is controlling them.
Gluttony is their friend.
Gluttony is their friend and companion. Rather than them being in control of the situation, they've let the situation control them. What's troubling you about that, Pat? Good frown on your face.
Well, I guess because we are a group of Christians studying this, and you say that this is going to be worldly people. I don't think it'd be in the Bible if it only applies.
No, I don't think it is only worldly people. Okay. I think it is anyone who's let this behavior control them, right. Christian or not Christian.
Yeah.
That's my opinion on it.
Okay.
Then
I can go with it.
Obeying the teaching of your father, too.
Right. And we, you know, it's not on here, but Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, what did they say about that rich food? We're not going to do that because it's not what's best for us. So there were teachings and there was knowledge about how to eat and eat well to make it good for your body.
And of course, do you think that this is more than just food, of course? You know, there's gluttony for punishment. How many times have we heard that?
Yeah, things that you over-like. Mm-hmm. You like excessively and are willing to indulge in them. Yeah.
I've thought about that too, but isn't the... Didn't it start from excessive eating?
Yes.
I think the gluttony, that's excessive
yes.
eating.
Yes, and most of these talk about
excessiveness
in food.
Wherever else.
Yeah.
A lot of people, they just go for food when they got a lot on their mind. They take it out on the food. That's what's there.
Oh, I eat like a drunk drinks.
Yes.
I eat when I'm happy. I eat when I'm sad. I eat when I'm scared. I eat when things are good.
But we have to control ourselves.
Yes. It's the lack of control. I truly believe that the lesson is about lack of control. And in this case, it's using food in that lack of control. Proverbs 23:2. Put a knife to your throat if you're given to gluttony.
That'll cure it.
Cut off your hand if it offends thee. All the way through the Bible, we're told, if this is a problem for you, get rid of it. Don't just sneak around it and pretend about it. Get rid of what's offending you. And if gluttony is our problem, our excess, our sin, because it controls us rather than we controlling it, we've got to get rid of it, whatever that takes. And I will tell you that I'm on the second... This pushed me into what I said I was going to be doing anyway. So I'm on the second day of this, and I really want popcorn. Real bad. I'm not going to have any. But when whatever it is controls us, rather than we controlling the thing, it becomes gluttonous, it becomes excessive, it becomes an idol. And therein lies the problem with this. In Proverbs 25:16, if you found honey, eat only enough for you, lest you have your fill of it and vomit. Enough already is what it's saying, you know? Eat and eat. And I don't think we can be philosophical and deny that that one's about food. Don't overeat. Don't overindulge. Don't put yourself in the position of harming your body with overindulgence. Y'all better talk or we're going to be through it.
You see pictures back, is it the Romans that you see these pictures of them laying on the couches and surrounded by all this food?
And they had vomitarians where people went and purged after they ate like that.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
That's what they were called, vomitarians. So they would eat so much that they couldn't eat anymore and they would go and throw up.
But they didn't eat what we did. I mean, the food that you see in the Bible, I mean, it's not like all these.
They still do too much of it. Lamb is lamb is lamb.
They might be eating the king's fare like Daniel wouldn't eat too.
And there were sweets and confections. There were things made with honey. And I mean, all these. Don't get me ranting on some of that, because all the people that say it's, first of all, sidebar. All these people that tell me, well, it's all natural, my reaction is, so is arsenic. Arsenic is found naturally. So all natural doesn't mean squat. It just, you got to know what's in it that's all natural. And the second one is when people talk about sugar being so bad for you, and they're going to use honey or, you know, but sugar in your body is sugar.
Right.
Cane sugar, beet sugar, honey sugar, fructose, all of it.
Artificial.
Well, that may even be worse. Yes, Elizabeth.
I sent, well, I should not say this, but I sent on TV, the doctors on TV, they were saying last night about, you know, women with the belly.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
but they were saying chocolate is good for the belly. It swells it. It makes it go down. And pineapples supposed to be good.
So those little chocolate covered pineapple fruit arrangement things are perfect food.
All I know, he said chocolate, one. Pineapple, eggs, bowl eggs, stuff like that.
Well, chocolate. I'm personally pretty convinced that if we eat things that are. There's all kinds of words for it now, but a long time ago I started calling it closer to the ground, closer to the things God put on the earth, that we'd be okay.
Yes, for us to eat.
Yeah. Our bodies are given to us by God, and this is the one that people always go back to on the smoking and the drinking and things that, because you cannot find in the Bible any place that says don't smoke a cigarette. It's not in there. And yet we often condemn that as a sin based on this scripture, and I think rightly so. But it's based on this scripture. Well, if this scripture is saying we're to keep our bodies holy to God, and that involves our physical bodies, then it's all those things that involve our physical bodies. Do you not know that you're God's temple and God's spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is holy and you are that temple. I don't think there's a much more plain statement that we are given this body and we're supposed to take care of it. This little food program that I went on, I liked the way they were talking about it. They said, don't you dare say this is hard. Fighting cancer is hard. Losing a parent is hard. Dealing with fertility issues is hard. This is inconvenient. And I thought, yeah, that's true. And, you know, you get hungry and you say, this is too hard to do. No, it's not hard. Life has hard things, but that's not one of them. So I keep telling myself that. And you're going to see a marvelous change in 30 days or whatever.
30 days. I heard that it takes 3 weeks. Well, any addiction, it will take you 3 weeks to calm down.
Any habits.
At least.
Yeah.
At least 3 weeks.
Yeah. 2 days is probably not enough to work on yet.
My daughter, years ago when she quit smoking, she said it took her 3 weeks to get that feeling out of it. But then after that, it was just hand to mouth. It was just habit. It was so hard.
Yeah.
To me, it's all in your mind.
Yeah.
Most things
are hard.
Most
addictions are.
Yeah. And I, again, personally, I'm putting a lot of my own opinions out here, and y'all feel free to disagree with them. But I don't think it's reasonable for me to say I'm addicted to food. I like food. I eat a lot of food. And I enjoy eating the food. But I'm not addicted to it. If I quit eating all that stuff, my body's not going to go into withdrawal. I'm not going to. It's not an addiction. It's a choice. And a habit. A really bad habit. And I'm discovering more and more the habit of snacking. And I don't snack on anything I shouldn't snack on. I snack on really good, healthy stuff, but I eat a lot. And I need to stop that just so my brain doesn't go, oh, it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon, you know. Where are the carrots? Where's the celery sticks? Just because I don't need to be eating all the time. My brain needs to be operating on other things.
It doesn't, you can eat as much as you want. The thing of it is, you got to be careful what you eat.
Yeah, but I'm not sure everybody can eat as much as they want. Because my brain wants food a lot. Because I've developed a habit.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, you can eat as much as you want. It's just what you eat.
That may be true for some people, but I'm 62 years old, and lots of times I've eaten exactly the way I should eat, and I still weigh this. So I still think you can, you know, carrots do have calories. Not a lot, but if you eat enough of them, they have calories. Romans 12:1 says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Talk to me about that verse. What does that mean? Is that involved with what we're talking about, or is that something else?
I think sure it is, but I think it's all about behavior once again, because it's talking about a presentation, and presentation, of course, is behavioral.
Right.
And so I think it's very much part of what we're talking about.
Now, I do think this verse extends to a lot more than that. that we are to give our full service to God at all times, and that in our physical life we are to be a servant, we're to be doing whatever we can to spread the word. But I don't think we can take it away from this one little aspect, that if we don't keep our bodies well, how can we do the service that we should be doing?
And it talks about, and this is probably far-fetching, but about a living sacrifice. There are sacrifices that we need
there
to
are.
Make. And if
there
that
are.
Means putting away a dozen cookies that I, or a dozen donuts that I can't eat at one time, because it's going to get, like you say, my way of serving
right.
then.
Right. And any of those things that are going to get in our way of service. Because I believe after doing this study that gluttony is not so much about the food that goes into your body, but the attitude about the food that goes into your body.
And it can go it can the way
it.
Where
it can.
People start hating food
and
or they start damaging their body by not
it can.
Food.
Yeah. It can.
And
that's just as detrimental to service to God.
Right.
Saw some show, maybe Dr. Phil, and a woman was on there. I like Dr. Phil. 92 pounds. You know, a grown woman, 92 pounds. And he was trying to get her into some kind of help. He said, you're going to die, and you're going to die soon. You know, this is not in a year.
Control behavior.
Yeah. And a lot of times we control things thinking if we control that we can control all those other things, and we can't.
Yeah. Sometimes you that's know? All we can control.
That's right. But if there's a lot of the psychology, and if I can control this, if I can make this happen, then my kid won't be in a car wreck or, you know, my whatever. If I can control this, maybe I can control all those other things that we really can't. And it's hard being connected to people, because when you're connected to people, you can get hurt in many, many ways. But we can't control it. God's in control. Okay. Our attitude is a barometer of our love for God. Philippians 3:18-19. For many of whom I have told you and now tell you, even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and their glory is their shame, with minds set on earthly things. Now that part about the belly I do think means food in some level, but I think it means worldly things, all the pleasures of this world. Food's one of the pleasures of this world.
And that's something we can all relate to.
Yeah, right. Everybody understands that.
Yes.
And lusting even for the really good food.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in our country, we are so blessed to have... And you can walk into... I was annoyed the other day because I was in the store and I couldn't find coconut milk. Now, most places in the world aren't going to be able to find coconut milk unless you live on an island that has coconut milk. But we have such an abundance of things. Mm-hmm. And we will spend large sums of money to go to a restaurant for someone to cook us this perfect meal. And we'll spend a lot of money to do it ourselves and a lot of time and effort. So I think it's talking about here, you can't be controlled by the things of the flesh, including food. And food, do y'all know any real foodies? The people that's just their thing, that's just what they do. So annoying.
Yeah, you've got this paleo stuff is really popular.
And what is that? Just
I'm not exactly sure.
Me either.
Just
meat and dirt, I think, is what they eat. I'm not quite sure.
Yeah.
But
no processed stuff.
Oh yeah, nothing processed. Actually, that's what I'm doing for
and
this 30
to,
days.
Actually,
yeah,
you have to cook your own. I mean, you're constantly
yes.
cooking
Except
or
yeah.
processing it to
right.
you know the raw stuff to cook.
Right,
it's
right.
like.
But we have such an abundance and are so used to that and so spoiled by it that I do think we can start letting it overcome us. Roger used to work with this guy that he really was a good cook, but he just knew he knew everything about food. Everything. No matter what you said, he knew something better. And he was talking to Roger about he was going to make coq-au-vin one night. And that's chicken stew, French chicken stew. And he was talking about how it was so hard to find aged chickens. Well, the reason they invented coq-au-vin was because the chickens were spoiling. And if you put it in stew with a whole lot of spices, you can't taste the spoiled meat. You don't age chicken on purpose. He was looking for aged chicken, and you have to go to gourmet stores to get it. Well, the reason was to cover up the bad taste. I never got around to telling him that, but I sure wanted to. But it wouldn't have done any good with him.
But now I know what I'm making for supper.
Use that chicken in the fridge. You put a lot of wine in it and a lot of spices, so you can't taste the chicken.
Well, that one you can't taste it.
Probably did. The life expectancy back in the 1600s is how much? 40 years? 35 years? You know, that's the other thing. I'm sorry, I'm ranting this morning, but that's the other thing that gets me. People say, well, they've done this for centuries, and they died at 40. We get to live to be 100, maybe. Because we don't do that kind of stuff.
And we're preserved with all the
preserved. We are preserved. We eat. Romans 13:14. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desire. Probably the keynote scripture of this whole lesson. If we're not working to serve God and put on Christ, if we're letting all these worldly things come in our way, that's gluttony, that's sin, that's excess. And I think it's very clear there. Don't worry about the things of this life. Don't worry about the lusts of the flesh and the things that we wish we had and thought we need. Because what we're here for, what's the whole duty of man?
Serve God and keep His commandments.
I even like it better where it says it's the whole of man. Yes. And without the duty, it's the whole of man. It's who we are. And if we're wasting our time on worldly things, we're not doing what we need to be doing for God. Physical appetites are an analogy of our ability to control ourselves. If we're unable to control our eating habits, we are probably also unable to control other habits, such as those of the mind, lust, covetousness, anger, and unable to keep our mouths from gossip or strife. Now, I don't particularly like that sentence because it assumes that if you have trouble with one area, you have trouble with all the others. But it does indicate if you can't control one area, you might be more likely to lose control in another area. I don't think it's an absolute. I don't think because somebody has a problem with gossip doesn't mean they can't control other portions of their life. They just have that one they've got to work on. So I think the overall meaning is pretty good, but I don't think it's a necessity to say that you're going to fail in all those other areas. Okay, so here's where we have some scriptures to look up. And Debbie, you want to start for me in Deuteronomy 21:20, Mary, Proverbs, Pat, 2 Peter, Yvonne, 2 Timothy, Cliffy, 1 Corinthians. Okay, let's get that far.
Ready?
Mm-hmm.
21:20. And they shall say to the elders of his city, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard.
All right, let's talk about that a minute. They're saying to the elders of the city, here's what's wrong with our kid. And they've got all these issues in addition to him being a glutton and a drunkard. Now, to me, that scripture saying he's lazy, all he does is sit around and eat and drink, he won't do anything. Is that what y'all get from that one? And it's a sin right in there with the drunkenness, with all the other things. Food's ruling his life. Okay, Mary?
And put a knife to your throat if you are a man given to appetite.
Okay, we already did that one. Sorry. If you can't control it, just forget it. Just cut your throat and be done.
And if we can go back to that Deuteronomy verse 2, in verse 18 it talks about also he's not listening to instruction.
Either. Right.
That I thought that was interesting. And then, can you imagine doing that to your child and then taking them to the elders?
No, it's...
And they stoned him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I wonder if they took him or the elders were that watchful.
Aware.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. To me, he's just out of control.
Yes.
I mean, I have a hard time believing they would have taken him to the elders if it was just for gluttonous.
Oh, yeah.
Stuff.
No.
There's a lot of... He's just out of control.
Well, he won't listen to instruction and all these other things. He's not being the son he should be. in a lot of ways.
A lot of lessons right there in those few old verses.
Yeah.
Pat, ready? But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness love.
Okay, so what are we zeroing in on in this lesson?
Self-control.
Self-control. Self-control. We should be able to control our behaviors, not our behaviors control us. Anybody ever known anyone who has trouble with cursing? So, well, I just can't help myself. It just comes out. Well, that means you've developed a bad habit where you let it come out and you can control it. It might be difficult to break that habit, but it can be done. And pretty much it's the I can't help it thing doesn't fly with most stuff that we use it for. I can't walk a tightrope. I'm pretty sure that one's true. I'll fall off and kill myself. But for a whole lot of things that we say, I can't help it, or I can't do it, we can. We just don't want to enough yet. Are you on?
2 Timothy 3:1-9. Mm-hmm. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying his power. And from such people turn away. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captive the gullible women loaded down with sin, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as James and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these who also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds disapprove concerning the faith, but they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs also was.
So once again, we're back to talking about self-control. And look at the list that it's included in, the lack of self-control. Yes?
I'm going to talk about also 5, it kind of with what we're talking about in general.
Okay.
Having a form of godliness but denying its power, is that perhaps not relying on God to help us get over what we need to get over?
I think so. I think it's giving lip service to God but not trusting in God in many ways.
Yeah.
And that could be one of them. And then you have people who say, I can't ask God to help me lose weight. That's silly. No, you're not asking God to help you lose weight. Right. You're asking God to help you be in control of your life, yeah, in control of your situation.
Yeah.
So, and I always find it amusing when people say, God's too busy for that. Really? Because he tells us he knows the number of hairs on our head. I don't think he's too busy with anything that's too busy for us. There's nothing that indicates that. But that's what I think. Anybody else have comments on that? A form of godliness?
But denying its power.
I see it as someone who's claiming to be godly, but and yet they're a wolf in sheep's clothing. That's how I read this. Because then they come into your houses and they captivate and,
yeah,
and
capture
find
those foolish women
of people and prey on the vulnerable. And then, of course, I think denying its power. I always thought that's what that meant.
If you go into a look of godliness, and you sort of like those television preachers we were talking about, you really are denying the power of God, because you're saying what I'm doing is what God wants me to do, or maybe I'm going to con you into thinking it's what God wants me to do. But they're denying the power of the Almighty God who created the universe
and loving themselves.
Okay, let's see. Cliffy? 1 Corinthians 6.
2 Corinthians 10:5.
No. 1 Corinthians 6.
Oh.
It wasn't linked. It wasn't
okay.
In blue. Sorry.
But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness.
And 19, please.
And what?
Verse 19.
I'm not voting this morning, am I? What am I saying then, that an idol is anything, or what is offered to idols is anything?
First Corinthians 6.
Okay, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. And 19. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own?
Okay, so first of all, I won't be controlled by anything, but all things are lawful. And he was saying this in conjunction with what?
Eating meat sacrificed to idols.
And he said, I can do that. There's nothing wrong with me doing that, but it's not good for me, and it's a bad influence for other people. It hurts people. So, you know, if we're talking about food, I can go have a cupcake if I want a cupcake. Is it good for me? Is that what I should be doing? Am I taking my friend down the rosy path who's trying really hard not to do something? So just because it's okay to do it doesn't mean it's okay to do it. You know, just because it's lawful doesn't mean it's smart. And especially the part about I won't be controlled by anything except God and His word and His wisdom and His need, His desires for me.
My translation has for helpful, profitable.
It's not always profitable. It's not always a good idea. So everything we've read so far comes back to being in control of the situation. Linda, would you read 2 Corinthians 10:5 and then Carol, Galatians 5:22-24?
I think here we're talking about walking in the flesh and warring according to the flesh. Verse 5 states, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ.
Okay. Every thought. Everything we do should be in obedience to God. And if we're letting something else control us, which is what we've been saying all along, that's sinful. It's not that you're ingesting the cupcake. It's that you're letting that desire control what you do in your life. Carol?
But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires.
If we're Christ, we don't let earthly passions rule us. And I do believe we look at this scripture and we don't think about food. We don't think it talks about food. But it's talking about any earthly desire that's controlling us instead of us controlling our life and our bodies and our temples of God. So when it comes right down to it, I really think that the whole thing about gluttony is not how many calories you take in. It's, are you letting that rule your life? Are you thinking about that more than you're thinking about God? Are you planning for that more? Do you spend more on your food budget while you don't spend any money on service to God? You know, just all these kinds of things. Is this first in your life instead of God being first in your life? And if it is controlling you, why aren't you doing something about it? Why aren't you doing something to fix it? That's my opinion. Carol?
You know, just up above there in verse 21, it's saying, don't do all these things. And now gluttony isn't in there, but drunkenness is, which has been
right.
A lot of these verses
right.
With gluttony. But it says those who practice these things will not inherit God's kingdom.
Right. And it talks about, doesn't it say self-control in that verse? That we're need to have self-control? Not that one? Okay.
No.
But
it says outbursts of wrath.
23.
You know, anger and stuff.
Okay.
But it says and the like.
And the like.
And the like.
Will not inherit.
Will not inherit the kingdom of God.
I sure would hate to arrive at those pearly gates and him say, hey, you can control the eating. You couldn't control yourself. You couldn't control your fleshly desires. And therefore, you put that above God. Because I don't think I am, but does God think I am? Mm-hmm. That's the question, not whether I think I'm righteous. So now that we've gone through the scriptures, now what's your definition of gluttony? What do you think?
Lack of control.
Lack of control.
Eat to live and don't live to eat.
Yeah, I'll work on that, Debbie.
Me too.
So it's about an attitude. It's about what we put first in our life and how we approach this physical temple of God. And I think that sums it up in a sentence. And I don't believe that just because someone is a large person makes them gluttonous. Some people are large, some people are small. But I do believe that how we approach who we are can be that, can be gluttonous.
It's like my dad weighed 140 pounds until he was 40. He was 6'1" or whatever he is. And but ate rounds, fried round steak, mashed potatoes, just anything that he wanted. So
yeah,
there's a lot of truth to that.
Yeah. And things change as you age, and people's bodies morph and just look different as they age. You know, it's not just in our face and our hair color.
So, depression.
Yeah.
One person that comes to my mind, I thought of his name, was Dwayne Davis.
He's still
I can remember years ago when they attended here, he could eat anything he wanted. And he was as tall and slender as anyone I'd ever seen.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen him in years, but he was still like that.
I used to get mad at Randy because he would talk about my weight, and I'd say, and he'd say, I haven't gained any weight, and blah, blah. I'd say, well, don't act like it's because you did anything. Because he would eat everything inside. He just happened to be lucky, you know.
And that helps you, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that was helpful. See how much it helped?
Also, stress is a big factor.
Stress is a big factor.
Weight.
Yes.
Gains. Because some eat from stress.
Stress. And cortisol throws in your body into chaos and all kinds of things. So, other questions, comments?
It's almost lunchtime.
Okay, Debbie, you have to stay after class.